This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Our guests today, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. And they're happy to answer your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. The phone numbers, if you'd like to talk with Carol and Jim, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL and 333-WILL. We've got a call coming in already. Good to see you. Welcome back.
Good to see you.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? We often talk about dogs, but we often talk about lots of other things, too. So,
But dogs, that's the reason for doing the program. There's been something since last month's show that I've wanted to talk to Jim about, since he had some good advice for a caller. But I've wanted to wait to do it on the air.
Okay. Well, why don't we hold that?
Sure thing.
For when we have a lull. And let's take a call. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
I have a lovely eight-month-old miniature schnauzer who in many ways is the perfect dog, but in some ways is not. She refuses to come when she's called, and she hates other dogs. And I need some good, easy, can-do things that will help us with these problems with her.
Jim's smiling, so he's going for it.
She hates other dogs. How do you know she hates other dogs?
Because she tries to kill them whenever she sees them. I mean, she is, and we've had her since she was, we got her when she was 7 weeks old. We've had her entire life. We tried our best to introduce her to all, you know, do what, she loves children. I have two small kids. She's great with people. But anytime she's around any other dog other than my brother's dog, who she's been around her whole life, she just loses her mind. And we've tried, you know, taking her to obedience class and, you know, treating her whenever she's around dogs, and nothing seems to be really clicking. And I'm not sure if we're doing something wrong or if I just need to be much more aggressive with getting her around other dogs more, or if it's a schnauzer thing and I just need to deal with it.
Well, in part, it's a schnauzer thing.
They bark. They don't try to kill other dogs.
Well, I you know, we've never met, have we?
No, I don't.
Okay, so... Some people talk in hyperbole. When you say the dog tries to kill other dogs.
Well, okay, I'm talking in hyperbole. Yeah, okay.
I thought you might be.
She
just barks a lot, right?
She barks a lot. She has lunged at a friend of mine got a puppy about the same time we got her. And we thought, oh, it would be so cute to have the puppies meet. And this was in the spring. And, I mean, she tried to take a bite out of her. I mean, this other puppy. So it wasn't even like it was a larger dog or, you know, it was a comparable.
When you say dog. Tried to take a bite out of, what do you mean?
She lunged, and I had to yank her back, and her mouth was open, and she was about to try to bite this dog, which was kind of a wake-up call. At this point, I hadn't seen her do that, and she tried to bite the dog. And I'm not sure if she's doing it. Her tail is wagging. You know, it looks like she's, you know, meet me, meet me, meet me. But then as soon as it comes to it, she just can't.
Does she snarl? You know, when they're barking, their mouth is open.
She's just barking, 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 doing that schnauzer.
I've had schnauzers in class, and they can look pretty intimidating, but most of them are just barking.
Yeah, that's just what they do.
Yeah, this is the kind of behavior. I realize it's hard to describe. And a dog barking appears to be aggressive, and even if it isn't? Well, many dogs lunge.
Okay.
Knowing that they're on a lead and they can't get at the other dog.
Oh.
It very often happens, and I'm not saying it's true of your dog, but dogs are rah, rah, and you let them loose, and they shut up.
Because they're tough as soon as they're...
Well, we have dogs, we feed them in crates, you know, so they don't steal each other's food. And when another dog walks by the crate, it's that. And occasionally we forget to shut the door, and when the door isn't shut, the dog walks by and nobody says anything.
Okay.
And the reason is they know that they can get at the other dog, and they really don't want to. They don't want to attack them. They just want to yell at them.
Okay.
And they know if they yell at them, then there might be a fight, and they don't want that. So as soon as you close the door, then it's back again.
It's just hard to test these theories because
I know
when you're not. You know, I hate to say, hey, can your dog be my dog's guinea pig?
I would like my dog to attack your dog.
We had a call like this last month. It was the very same thing.
Yeah,
it was,
and
it was similar. So yeah, and there, in order to cure the problem, we have to know what's on the dog's mind, and that's kind of hard to tell. Often, dogs will bark if they feel protective of you.
Okay.
Does the dog bark when it's loose in the backyard or in the house and it sees dogs go by?
Yes. I mean, she's extremely territorial of her backyard.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and so
good.
So we're hanging out back here. We live up the back of an alley, so people often walk by, and she will go bananas.
At the people or at people with dogs?
A little bit of both. There are certain people that she has comfortable with that she sees often enough, but if somebody's walking by with a dog, it's, you know, she's barking, barking, barking.
When you say you treat the dog, what kind of treats do you
use? Well, what the lady that I took her to obedience school suggested was, you know, make it an associated with something good. So when you're walking her, and we do try to walk her every day, I mean, we make that a priority. You know, when you see another dog, automatically get her attention, watch me, and treat her so that she associates a dog coming into view with something
sure.
positive.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems to be, you know, it seems to be working. But again, it's one of those things where if I've forgotten the treats, or you know, it's me, I guess. More.
Well, what I was going to suggest is you up the treat. If a dog there are some treats that are ignorable.
Yes.
I don't want to start a whole discussion on underground fences, but. You know, these wires under the thing,
yeah.
And the dog wears a collar. There are some things on the other side of the fence that are just worth getting the pain for,
right.
You know. And so the dog goes, well, it's going to hurt, but it's a cat, and I hate cats. Pew.
Right.
Should I – now, we feed generic cookies because our dogs go nuts over anything.
Okay.
But if you're treating the dog with something and the dog goes, well, I'd like to bark at this dog, but hey, it's liver, you know.
Right.
Or Robin takes what in the confirmation ring with her?
Liver.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
liver.
And that's what I mean. You don't know what the dog really, really, really likes.
Right.
And
this kind of segments into the coming when she's called problem, which, you know, we used to be able to just, I could even fake her with the treat. I would treat her when she got in, but if I held my hand out like I had a treat, she came running. Now she'll just look at me like, yeah, I don't think so.
And she's 8 months old, too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she's like a teenager. I mean,
well, in puppy class especially, I don't teach the puppy class, but I was in it this time, and I see other people, and, of course, the teacher in me wants to, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it. But there are people that will hold food in front of a puppy to get them to heal, or not heal, but follow them, and they never give the puppy the treat. And you can just see after a while, the puppy goes, well, you're holding food, but what? I'm not going to get it, so the heck with you.
But see, I would treat her when she got inside. There was always food associated with that with my hand mm-hmm. motion. And then, you know, like last month.
Well, I make sure you always have it. Make
right.
sure, and I would have two or three different types of treats so
okay.
that you don't want to give her liver every time. It'll make
right.
her sick, for one thing.
Right.
But you always want to have it. We buy dog treats, little dog treats, in 20-pound things because as we speak here, I'm in my lawyer clothes, but I've got a pocket full, and I will demonstrate to you on the radio here. See? I've got a pocket full.
Oh, now, see, these are big treats for my guys
now. Well, they're
now.
Fairly big. They're Malamutes. So I always have dog treats.
Those are for his clients.
I was going to say for the members of the jury.
The week.
Ladies and gentlemen. When I lie to you, I have dog treats in my pocket. So that every time the dog comes, I always have something. Always.
Okay. Well, we may need to then.
Yeah. And if you have a dog clever enough that where if you miss it a couple times, they go, well, maybe, maybe not.
Right.
That's the one problem. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for how long? 35 years. I do not know how to wean dogs if you use food to train. I don't know how to wean them off of it.
So once you've opened
which
that
is
door.
Not to say that I haven't gone
it's
to
it's not a bad thing.
I've gone to seminars on it. I've read books on it. I've just never been able to do it. Because as soon as a dog says, you don't have food, then if you've trained them with food.
Right.
Whatever advice you got, as Carol and I think we agree, it's good advice.
But, you know, she's forgetting the age of the dog.
So you think maybe she'll grow out of it?
No,
she won't grow out of it. You're just going to have to be more diligent.
Okay, we have to work. She's like my regular daughters. I have to
work
much harder with curls.
Well, and the thing about dog training and child training and even getting along with adults is every time you have an encounter, a training session, things change. The dog has learned something. Either it's learned that you're not going to give it food, or that you will give it food, or that you'll give it food but late. So,
or that you're happy and you're not tense.
You're happy or you're not happy. And,
or she can completely ignore me and there's no consequences.
Exactly. That's the big thing. And usually if a dog doesn't come when called, it's because it was inadvertently trained to do that.
Right. And we said one too many times, we said, come on, Coco, and yeah, she just ignored me, and that was okay.
You have just, if that's why I tell people, don't call your dog unless you can, if they don't come, you can make them come.
Right.
And that's a training situation.
Would you recommend letting, I mean, what if we let her out with her leash on so we could get her?
Well, more than that, people call it a drag line,
mm-hmm.
And it's maybe 10 feet long. A leash might be a little bit short.
Okay.
And that's an excellent way to, without using, especially with a little dog like this, where in order to grab it by the collar, let's say, you've got to go at its head, you know, and the dogs just don't like that.
Right.
With a drag line, you don't have to get that close. You can pick it up and gently... you don't even have to pull them. Just give them a little pop and say, come on over.
Yeah.
Or she can sit on the ground.
Sit on the ground, do something.
Do something different to make you look unusual to the dog and chip
the thing about
over.
A drag line is you do not leave it on the dog when you're not around.
Right.
Because obvious reasons.
Well, no, this
it's
would
tangled
just be,
and they die.
In the backyard,
mm-hmm.
You know, when we let her out just to run around, then when it's time to come in, I'm not forced to either go get food or chase her around because that's not solving anything anyway. Running after the dog is not going to.
No, the dog. The dog's just too fast.
Yeah, well, that too.
And if you have a drag line, and what people tend to do is, if training doesn't work, you know, say Fido come and they don't come, then you start to use your authority. You come here this is you come right now, and you get a mean voice that I'm not saying you do this with your daughters, but many parents go, okay, here's the law.
Right.
And with kids, it works because they can understand what you're saying. Where with a dog, they don't understand. They just know you're mad.
Right.
What was the other thing? Oh, do you free feed?
Well, she eats twice. I mean, free feed, what does that mean?
That means you put a big bowl of food down, she eats whenever she wants.
No, I mean, she's fed twice a day.
Okay.
Morning and evening.
She's probably old enough that you don't have to. She's probably housebroken. I was going to suggest that before you feed her, you let her out.
Oh.
And then call her and, you know, rattle the food in the thing.
Well, you know, food has never been a big draw for her. I don't know if it's just her or schnauzers in general. But we had, you know, she's gotten better. But for several months, it was hard because she wouldn't necessarily eat when she had the opportunity to eat. So then we would leave, and we weren't sure how much she was eating. Mm-hmm. And
no, you pick it. Don't let that start.
Well, that's what, like with children, my vet said, do not even play into those kinds
no,
of games.
No, just pick it up and put it away. Don't let that start.
That's what we did, and now she's much better. She doesn't necessarily always finish her meals, but she eats something.
Then she's probably getting too much food.
You're giving her too much food.
Oh, okay.
And things that are... probably it's not it, but you could have her checked for infections and things like that. A lot of times puppies will have urinary tract infections, which are kind of low level. They don't really – it doesn't affect their behavior, and it's hard to spot, but it does make them a little bit cranky.
Oh, okay.
But I think the suggestion of when she sees a dog – as soon as she sees a dog – you say, Fido, come. You make her sit. Make her do some easy behavior that she knows, like sit,
mm-hmm.
which is the most common. Say sit, and then you give her some food. If she sees a dog outside and she's loose in the house and she runs to the door, have a spot either in the kitchen or a rug or something. Call her over to there and give her the treat there.
Okay. So you're associating that.
Right. Right now, she sees another dog, and it's a trigger for this kind of behavior, whether it was accidentally taught or, you know, just built into her. And what this other person was suggesting and we're suggesting is you can't change the trigger, so you change the behavior.
Right.
So when you see this dog, don't go rah, 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 do this. Now, on one-to-one sort of things, this may be – is she otherwise kind of – it's hard to tell with small dogs. Is she otherwise kind of dominant?
Not necessarily. Around – she's around children from infants on up, and she's really very sweet and willing. Just come, she'll come up to a small child and just sit down and wait for them to sort of pet her. I mean, she's
sweet. The incident she mentioned last spring – with the other dog, and she yanked on the leash.
Yeah.
Sometimes those things that we do, she now associates something negative with seeing another dog. Not that you hurt her.
Right.
But that you were upset.
Oh, well, I just tried it. What I did was I just picked her up and walked away.
Well.
And it's understandable, but when you talk to dog trainers such as us, what we would say is don't walk out on the street where people aren't understanding. You know, get another dog with a friend of yours.
Right. Well, this was a friend of hers with her puppy.
Yeah,
remember?
But it wasn't a training situation.
No, it was a
social situation.
Set it up so that you're walking and the other dog, and you know the other dog. And as I said, Carol's right. If she was trying to go at the other dog and you yanked her, and you probably said no or something like that, when she's going arf, 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 when humans go, no, 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 this is my theory, of course, I can't prove this. What the dog is hearing is you confirming you're essentially barking. You're
right.
Going, no, 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 because no doesn't mean anything to the dog in that context. And so it's going, woof, 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 and you're going, no, no, no. So it thinks you're backing it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Mom's right with me. That animal is a danger, and we've got to yell at it.
Right.
Whereas, and I think this other person said, be real sweet, no panic. This is not a danger. Calm down. Here's some liver with a little bit of garlic.
Okay.
Wouldn't you love to have that? And coming when called, I think giving her not her whole meal, but let's say a quarter of the food she gets at a meal. And if she's eating and leaving some, you're giving her too much.
Okay.
And get her back in classes.
Yeah, that I know.
Yeah. And the other thing is, as I said, you set up the situation so that you're not embarrassed.
Right.
You know, and the other people aren't going to throw things at you.
Right. Well, and I don't want her to get hurt either. I mean, I don't want to be responsible for another dog getting hurt. I don't want her to try to.
She's
not
going to hurt anybody.
Yeah. Pit bull and have her get into that stick.
That's why I like to, I'll take Malamutes. People have aggressive dogs. I bring in Jared or somebody who's like 110 pounds. And we don't attack him. I just say, sit, Jared, and have the other person walk by. And those dogs look at Jared. They go, nah, I'm not going to bark at him.
And again, you're right. How much of it is her being territorial, her being on a leash?
Her being 8 months old.
Yes, being a teenager.
Is she spayed?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, she's
because sometimes changes in hormones will set the dog off, and it wouldn't hurt to take it to a vet just to see.
She's actually just been. She had a growth on her little leg that was just removed a couple of weeks ago, so she's actually just been to the vet and kind of been looked at. So I think she's all healthy.
Well, give us a call back in a couple months.
Well, thank you so much for
advice. Don't give up. It's not that unusual a problem.
Okay, let's take another call. A listener in Champaign. On line two, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
I think the answer to the question, which I haven't asked yet, is carry around a 20-pound bag of treats.
Backpack.
But I have a dog that will walk on a gentle leader leash, no problem, until another dog presents itself in the immediate area, and then he goes bananas. He's friendly. It's not a vicious thing. But I'm just wondering, what do I do to make the dog pay attention to me and not the other dog?
It's the same thing.
Well, the dog wants to greet the other dog.
Right.
Play. And play.
And what I say doesn't matter.
Well, as a dog trainer, I'm saying, well, what's the problem? You have a friendly dog. And it's really not a behavioral problem. It's a behavioral problem if you can't get its attention back or it's running into a street to greet another dog.
Or it's icy out, which I can attest to. Those things happen.
Oh, yeah. Carol was...
You lose your footing because you have exuberant dog.
Carol broke her foot because the dog pulled her over because he was friendly.
Mm-hmm.
He was greeting another dog. Those are the kinds of things that you have to worry about. But simply saying, well, the dog wants it. And I would say that it's the same sort of thing. You set up a situation with somebody with a dog that you know is not, you know, is the same kind of friendly dog.
Right.
And you approach each other. In fact, we do this in the home companion class. You approach each other. Each mm-hmm. person has the dog sit. You praise the dog, give it cookies. And then you touch the other person. Touching is very important to a dog.
We shake hands. We don't touch the people.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, but you shake hands or do something in front of the dog so he sees you're touching. You pat the other dog on the head. And the dog has to stay under control in a sit. If they don't, you turn around and walk away. And that's a punishment for a dog that is friendly and wants to greet another dog, walking away from it. And you say, okay, I'll go back to that other dog, but you have to, you know, you can say anything you want, but your point is you walk away, and that in itself is a punishment. It's a nonviolent punishment.
Yeah, and then you reward when they just sit there.
And then you walk back and tell them to sit. But you have to be in control of the situation. In other words, don't wait for it to happen on the street and hope the other person has a friendly dog.
Right.
You set this up in a training situation. And it never hurts to have 20 pounds of treats
in
your
pocket.
And,
we do that week after week after week. Those dogs are exposed mm-hmm. to other dogs, and we expect them to sit and behave for a few moments while we talk to the other person.
It's not a one-event learning situation. You might get two or three friends to do this. And if you trust the dogs enough, after your dog's been nice, then let them go up and sniff the other dog. That's what they want to do, just to say hello. And you want to make sure, of course, the other dog isn't going to go, hey, buddy, get your nose out of there and attack. But most dogs won't do that.
Right.
I use a gentle leader on one dog and a premier collar on the other. So do you switch collars when you walk? Or?
At this point, the dog is a lab Dane mix. He's about 70 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've given up using anything but the gentle leader.
The gentle leader, you know, I really like using that. And I need it because I have a dog that is uncontrollable when she sees a rabbit.
Right.
Nothing else bothers her.
Squirrels too, yeah.
A rabbit just, you know, and I need it for the control. So I would never really entertain taking her off that gentle leader when we're on our exercise walks.
See, I don't like gentle leaders.
He doesn't like gentle leaders. So, you know, and that's fine because it's good to have different perspectives. But I have found I have used every collar on her. And I have tried diverting her when she sees a rabbit. But, you know, her eyes are a lot better than mine. And she can see a rabbit that I have no clue is there until it runs across the street. So I have just found that works best for me. And I consistently use it.
Well,
so,
for what it's worth. I don't know how many dogs I've had. And these are Malamutes, and they're bred to pull. And they're real strong. Tommy, I think, pulled 3,000 pounds once in a weight pull. And Tommy, in all the hundreds of dogs we've had, he was trained to pull. He was a very good puller. He's the only dog I've ever had with a regular chain collar that I couldn't hold because he was too strong. Every other dog, they pull and I pull back and, you know. I worry about if they call it the gentle leader, and again, it's a brand name. If they called it the canine neck wrencher, they'd never sell any.
He says he's been saying this for like 15 years.
Now, on the other hand, I don't know of any dog that's ever been hurt on a chain collar, and I don't know any dog that's ever been hurt on a gentle leader. I mean, I've got zero reason.
I keep her
that's my
at my side when we're walking. You don't walk them out 10, 15 feet ahead of you on the gentle leader because that's not the point. So, but I find that to be a very effective tool for me with this particular dog.
Well, I worry with a dog this if it's more Great Dane than anything else, this is where I start to worry because they have long, elegant necks.
Yeah.
And they aren't quite brachiocephalic, but they got a shorter muzzle. And they're strong, and that's the kind of dog that if he starts to run and you pull him back, that I just worry about neck problems.
That's why it's nice he's a nice, friendly boy.
Yeah, well, I keep him pretty close to me, too, and he has a dance that he does when he wants to get away, and he just doesn't want flying through the air in a circle. If he doesn't get away, then he understands that he should be under control.
Well, that's good. How old is he?
About a year and two months.
Yeah. Well, he's got a little growing to do emotionally, too.
He's going to flesh out a little, but he's probably not going to get much taller.
Lab Danes are a popular mix.
We got them from the pound. I
mean, yeah, we had a lot of them come through there.
Red. Well, those are two very powerful dogs, and that's what I say. If it depends now, lab neck, I wouldn't worry about too much.
It's a lab neck. It's more.
Yeah, I was going to say they're fairly medium, fairly powerful, and it's that if you see the Danes, I mean, they don't have skinny necks, but compared to the rest of their body, they're kind of elegant necks. And that's what I worry about. It's not, I've got nothing against the gentle leader. I just worry that the dog's going to take off, you're going to hang on, and the dog's going to whip
around. That's why they give you a video to watch when you purchase one.
Well, and you're just sitting here saying the dog might see a rabbit that you don't see. That's my whole point.
I walk around the gentle leader, though, so she's always under my control.
Okay. Let us agree to disagree.
Okay. But at that point, we will always agree to disagree.
Always, if you're going to train the dog, don't wait for random dogs to come up. You be in control of the situation.
I'll give that a try. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let's go on and take another call for our guests, dog trainers, Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. Let's go next to a caller in Champaign. Listener on line one, hi.
Yeah, I have a 3-year-old boxer terrier mix that I adopted when she was about 1 year old. And when I got her, or 1 year old, I suppose, when I got her, she was horrible on the leash. And I think that she probably had never, never, never been on a leash when I first got her, and I, too, have gone through many collars and leashing systems, and I support the gentle leader discussion, but her issue is that she's absolutely overreactive and unsocialized with dogs, and when I got her, I registered right away for an obedience class, but because she is so exuberant with other dogs, they ask if we would take a private class, and gave our obedience class in it was just me and the dog trainer, and so she didn't get any of that socializing space. And so how do I socialize this dog who's now, 3.5? How do I do that? Is that possible?
So you had her in a class?
Absolutely overreactive. I had her in a class right away.
But 2.5 years ago. Class. 2.5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So what have you done in the last 2.5 years with her?
Well, I myself have just figured out, through the obedience training, too, we got her on a leash. I haven't been in a class with her since then, though, part because it scared me off from going to another obedience class that was...
Was this our class?
Like, because,
we don't give private...
No, was it our club?
No, this was in Michigan.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. In 2.5 years, I think you should give her another chance.
Yeah, especially if she now is trained on the leash and collar, which you didn't have before.
I've had dogs come in class, though, that I have referred to. The dog just wasn't equipped to handle the stress of being in a class with 10 or 11 other dogs, not to mention a room full of, maybe sometimes 30 animals in the whole building.
Yeah.
And it wasn't emotionally equipped, and it was probably not wise to have. But I've done that very few times. And always it was for the person, the dog, to get habituated to a situation where they had to behave. And then they would be encouraged to try again.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty tolerant, and probably everybody, if I have 10 people, 9 people hate me, but... if you have a dog that's frightened, then no, you don't want him in the class. But if you have a dog that's friendly and just out of control.
She can get pretty aggressive.
Yeah, because you used the word exuberant when you described her, and I couldn't figure out why they then referred you to a private trainer if it was exuberance.
Well,
so what was it actually then?
Barking and jumping around.
The class next to mine, I taught a more advanced class this time, but the class next to mine was a beginning class, and we seasoned veterans were kind of chuckling.
You chuckle at us all the time.
It wasn't your class.
I know.
But they had like 3 dogs that were just the whole time. And about 4 weeks later, and Adam taught that class, about 4 weeks later, we commented the dogs were 1,000% better. Nobody was barking. Mm-hmm. Nobody was lunging. And that's why I appreciate that kind of teaching where you go, okay, for a couple of weeks, everybody's, you know, going to be kind of loud, but they're going to get used to it and things will get better.
They always get better.
And boy, did they. And only one dog was still a little bit barky and really didn't bark through the whole class as it had before. And wasn't going after the other dogs and all that sort of thing. Now, I think it would have gone after it if thought it could get away with it, but it was learning that it couldn't get away with it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think I would
I'd
take
give it
a dog.
Another try if she's under a little bit of control now.
And you need to relax. I think I can even hear some tension in your voice talking about it.
Gosh,
it's upsetting to you.
Completely. It is upsetting because she's seemingly so unpredictable to me.
Yeah.
And she's going to get set off and...
Well, you know, sign up for a class. Talk to the instructor about this. Maybe they could meet you before. When I had problematic dogs, I would usually have them come about half an hour before the class started and get the dog relaxed in the environment.
Used to the building.
Used to the building, used to the sounds.
The smells.
So it wasn't just such a horribly upsetting experience for not only the dog but the person with the dog because they start to anticipate the worst. And
right,
that tension...
And I know my tension only sort of makes her panic.
Well, sure, that tension goes right down the leash. And then it's, okay, she's upset. Obviously, I have to be upset about something because she is.
Right.
Well, here's one of my favorite stories. I was teaching a class years ago, and after a session, this woman came up to me virtually in tears and said, I know my dog's the worst dog in class. And I'm going, oh, no, you know, he's doing fine. Don't worry about it. And so I hope she felt feeling a little better. And right behind her was another woman crying because she had the worst dog in class.
Right.
And I said, look, don't let it bother you. The woman that just left actually had the worst dog in class.
Right, that's just
but
what
does that mean? People get so that's why I say don't do these things on the street with strangers because there's a social dynamic going on with you and the stranger that's kind of overwhelming the problems with the dog. Have somebody that you know do this so that you're not embarrassed. And that's why I try to tell people in class, especially if we have a problem dog, is look, this dog is a problem. And that's why the person came to this class.
Oh, yeah. I do that too.
So please indulge them. The dog's going to get better, but it may take a week or two or three. And
so I am new to the area, and what class do I sign up for?
Oh, you're going to sign for Home Companion.
Probably Home
What's
Companion.
What's our phone number?
I don't know.
It's in the phone book. I will look it up.
Aren't we? It's 643 something.
Have you heard of this internet thing?
Indeed. I didn't hear the beginning of this program, and I don't know what the name of your group is.
It's a dog training club of Champaign-Urbana.
We have a web page.
Dog training
club.
Club of Champaign-Urbana.
DTCCU, as it's
now we have a website and classes. You're fortunate. Classes will begin next week.
You can sign up now. You can sign up online.
And you want the home companion class. Even though she's, you know, I've had a dog up to 12 years old be in my home companion class.
Okay.
And hold on here. Why don't you, when you hang up, I'll give you a minute or two to grab a piece of paper and a pencil. And I've gone to my database known as the phone book. And I'll give you the phone number for the dog club. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in this afternoon.
Thank you.
By the way, this is a show we do once a month on the first Friday of the month, and we always have a lot of fun and lots of good information.
I should be a regular listener.
Thanks to Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. Well, that's part of what we're about here.
That's right. Education.
I have it in my palm here. There we go.
All right. So we're going to take another call in just a moment, and hopefully our listener is rustling up a piece of paper. Finding a pencil.
And you can also find us online, you know, just Google Dog Training
Dog
Club,
Training
Champaign.
Club.
That's what I do.
Okay, so the phone number is 643-7733.
I knew that was
and
the
I'll
number.
And I'll give it again later in case the pencil didn't materialize. That always happens around the phone at our house. It's like, where's the... Okay, now let's take another call. Oh, no.
Nobody loves us anymore.
Well, maybe they'll call back. We've got about 10 minutes left in this portion of the program.
Oh, there they are.
We're talking with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. And they're here once a month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. And we do have a call coming in, and Henry Frayne, our director, is lining this up for us.
Carol likes all the flashing bright lights.
I do. I'm like a crow.
You should see
anything
the studio.
Bright.
I don't know. I was thinking. I know you love Christmas and your
anything
Christmas,
bright and flashy, just
like
a crow.
In here, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like Christmas. It's a red flashing light. So let's take a call. A listener in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hello. We rescued a husky, a 2-year-old husky, about 6 months ago, and she actually is very well behaved. But I'd like to get her doing some kind of, I don't know, agility or something. Can you talk about the different types of courses that are available?
They sure can.
We have it at the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. I'm now the director of training, by the way.
I forgot.
Yeah, and people are gonna start toying the line over it.
Oh, do you hear the dismay?
I asked you if you wanted to be,
audible eye roll.
The basic course we call Home Companion. A lot of people call it novice or beginning. We call it Home Companion, in which the dog learns to sit down, stay, and do all those things on command. We have beginning agility classes. Generally, to take those, though, you have to have passed the...
You have to have passed. Not generally.
Well, since I'm the director of training...
You haven't even served your first day.
I've been the director of training for 2 days. That's right. But in order to get into the agility classes, it's really, even though it's beginning agility, it's still kind of advanced work. You at least have to go through the Home Companion.
Which isn't that bad.
No.
It's a good thing to do.
And we also have tracking classes for a Siberian that probably wouldn't be that interesting.
But look at Carol, her success with her Siberians.
Oh, any dog can be taught to track. I know somebody who taught a Chihuahua.
Marion,
did she get a tracking title on that dog?
Maybe not. I thought so.
We have rally classes. Rally is...
Oh, fun.
It's a fun kind of... it's actually obedience exercises in a different format. What other classes do we have? We have fly ball. You don't want a Siberian in fly ball.
We actually offer everything that one can do in the dog sport world, and we collaborate with the Kennel Club for confirmation classes, so we even have our building is used for that venue. But truly, with the exception of probably cart work, I don't think we do anything with carting.
Well, we have people that do cart work.
That do carting.
We
don't
have
offer
people
class
that do
in that.
Herding. We have people like me who do sledding. But we don't
so you can
have,
hook up with those people.
We don't
people,
have classes in that.
Structured
so.
Classes we have in almost every venue that you can think of, with rare exception.
And
plus, you couldn't find a nicer group of people in this community.
You might
it is the truth.
I was at one of your events, and I thought, what a great group of
it
folks.
It is. There have been people that have been friends for years.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
20 and 30 years.
Phone number again?
643-7733.
And again, we're online with the webpage.
We're on Route 45 and Ford Harris Road.
Harrison Ford Road,
which is, what do we call it, north of that little airport.
It's north of...
North of the 74 interchange on Cunningham. Really nice facility, too.
Just north of Frasca.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Okay. Well, our thanks to that listener, and we're going to take one more call now. I think this is the person that we lost temporarily, but... Our caller on line two now in Fisher. Hi.
Morning or good afternoon. We have a 2-year-old golden retriever today. His birthday. And he's a good dog. And he's part of the family and all. The thing I was going to ask you about is if you had any insights into. He lives in the front yard sometimes when he's on a rope, of cable, and he barks because he wants me to come out and be with him. I think I don't think he barks as much when Marianne's home. But he doesn't like to be separated, or he prefers having my company, so to speak. Is there any way you might have a tactic to deal with that?
Bring him in the house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously, all dogs love to be with people. They have to be with people. But Goldens are one of those breeds that really have to be with you.
Carol has Goldens.
Yes. They'll be very unhappy. They will not thrive if they're left outside tied on a cable.
Well, of course, we have breakfast together and we go for walks together.
No, I mean living in the house. He needs to live in the house with you.
That's probably why he barks more when you're around, because you give him more attention. Because, the dog, it bark, 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 no attention. Well, they'll try something else, like, digging a hole or killing one of the neighbor kids.
Yeah, we have a few excavations.
Yeah. How? And he's 2 years old?
2 years old.
And you don't let him live in the house at all?
Oh, no. In the winter, he's in all the time. He actually sort of prefers being outside. And he's fine if I bring him into the garage, where he's got, a cool place to lay down, et cetera. He likes that a little bit better, and he doesn't seem to bark as much. But I just wanted, there's no real way to counter, his desire to be with you.
No. You know, probably shouldn't have gotten a golden retriever in the first place.
I beg your pardon.
You shouldn't have. They're a very friendly breed.
Well, this dog and I are very good friends. I sort of resent that. You're so nice to everybody else. Why are you turning on me?
I'm not turning on you at all.
Carol doesn't like it that you...
Why shouldn't we have one? I'll have him write you a letter about what a happy life he has. Thanks.
What you can try is there are commercial things called Buddha bones.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things.
You know,
it's not going to keep him occupied.
You put food inside of it, and that'll occupy him for a while, so he won't be barking.
Yeah. Human companionship is vital for dogs. I mean, that it is a matter of how well they thrive. When we had growing up the Weimaraner, that dog was so attached to us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd try and have a baseball game in the backyard or something. Well, that was nearly impossible with the dog because she would pick up the ball and run with it, you know. But she always wanted to be with us. But we'd put her in the house, and it was just she'd stand and look out the window, and she just looked lost.
See, mine don't even want to go out.
Yeah.
He doesn't like
so
the heat.
It was just where we were, that's where the dog wanted mm-hmm. to be. So we just said, well, we'll play with the dog.
Maybe it's the call of the wild.
Yeah. Get the Frisbee out, put the bases away, put the baseball bat away.
There was a good article in the New York Times that we shared on the list earlier this week, and it was about dog nutrition, but it started out with interviewed a professor at the university, and he described how the dog came from the den to the campfire to now the dog is, under the covers of the bed.
Right.
How it made the progression from living in the wild to the front
porch.
That was
in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really, it was very, it was very clear how the dog has progressed in status to sharing the household with people. So
yeah.
I didn't mean to be irritable with him. I didn't think I came across that way, but maybe I did. Didn't mean to.
Well, you love
yeah,
that breed.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So,
you've always been an annoying person as far as I'm concerned.
This is the Afternoon Magazine, and we're going to have to wrap it up pretty quickly. So classes are starting soon.
Mm-hmm.
Any other events you want to mention?
I can't think of
anything. We had a very successful Pet Responsibility Day a couple weeks ago out at the building, but that was... That was in the past, and we didn't make it to Allerton, but I understand.
Allerton had a great day the following day. There were a lot of dog activities this past month, and I can't think of anything that's going to be happening in September. But I'm sure we're going to overlook something. Do we have an agility trial this month?
We do.
Yep.
And when is that? The 20th.
Well,
look
it's
on
the website.
We don't want to. Yes, and for the girl that called about agility, she should come and watch.
Right.
Okay.
Check the website. I think it's in 3 weeks.
Okay. Is it 25th?
25th sticks in my mind, but
that 25th is not a weekend.
Yeah, it's around there.
Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Put that into your browser, and I'll give the phone number once again here to wrap up. 643-7733. 643-7733. Lots of lucky numbers in there.
Why can't I remember?
It?
I don't know. I don't call it.
So we'll see you in October.
Okay.
All right.
You didn't sing "See You Till" in September last month.
I was asked to, but
he didn't sing it, did he?
I prompted him, but
yeah. Celeste said, "Aren't you going to sing?" And I went, "Oh no! If you ask, you."
And I don't have any treats in my pocket, so I was out of luck. We were all deprived.
I'm deprived.
Well, we'll see you in October. And our thanks to everyone who called. And again, this is a program we do once a month on the first Friday of the month. We talk about dogs with dog trainers, Jim Kill and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.